our text this evening, the words of verses 4 and 5 of Galatians chapter 4. I'll read those verses with you again. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So whatever a person thinks about the Lord's birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming into this world, they think of an event that is associated with great joy, great delight, and great a blessing. Yes, the angels of heaven, they reflect this joy, this delight, and this jubilation. For whenever the angel was speaking to the shepherds in the Judean hills about the coming of Christ into this world, the angel of the Lord spoke to the shepherds and said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And there the angel told the shepherds not to fear. And the angel told the shepherds that he was bringing to them a message of great tidings, glad tidings, a message of great joy. And following the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and Bethlehem, we're told how the angels sang from glory. There was a choir of angels from heaven. And their song was this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Oh, it was a joyful and a joyous announcement that Christ had come into this world. And my, throughout the ages of time, yes, the message of Christ's first advent, His first coming into this world, is an event that has brought great joy to many hearts, to many lives, down throughout the ages of time. And people, tonight, it is this tremendous, joyful event that the Apostle Paul himself is speaking about and focusing upon as he writes in our text tonight here in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. When he says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth of His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And there Paul speaks of this momentous event, this most joyful and glad and delightsome event, the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. And in this chapter here before us, the Apostle Paul, yes, he is writing to Christians in the church at Galatia. And as he does so, he reminds them of the great blessings of salvation, the great blessings of the Christian life. And he shows to them that all these blessings, they do not come from the rites or the rituals or the ceremonies of men, but rather he tells them that they all come through the person, through the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they come through Him alone. As it was for the people of Galatia in the day of the Apostle Paul, so it is indeed the same for you and I. Yes, all the blessings of God, so great salvation, they are all found in the person and the work of the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Oh, as the Bible speaks of Christ, it rightly says that Christ is all and in all the blessings of salvation, they flow to us and they come to us through Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of Almighty God. As we look then tonight at these words before us here in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, and as we would consider tonight the great reality of the incarnation of the Son of God, there are three things I want just to set before you very plainly tonight and simply from our text. Notice first of all here with me, the time of Christ's incarnation. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." Those words there before us, they mean, yes, as we mentioned this morning, that the Christ existed in eternity past. And they mean, yes, that He came into this world at God's appointed time. Not a moment too early, or not a moment too late, but at God's appointed time. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. At the dawn of time, at the beginning of time, whenever Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, then God promised a Savior from sin. And He spoke of that promise to Satan whenever man had fell into sin. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the first gospel promise in all of the Bible. And He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that same promise is mentioned many times throughout the Old Testament. Think of Jacob pronouncing the blessing of God upon his sons. And when he comes to the tribe and the son of Judah, he speaks of Shiloh that speaks of Christ. And he says, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. There he was speaking of the great promise of Christ coming into this world in the fullness of God's time. We turn our Bibles back also to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse number 6. Here Isaiah the prophet speaks to us about this same great promise. And he says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And there again Isaiah is focused upon this tremendous promise that a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the world. And by that promise, yes, was fulfilled some 4,000 years after God gave that first promise in Genesis chapter 3. It was fulfilled when Christ, the eternal Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, it was fulfilled when Christ was born at Bethlehem. Yes, God's promise to send the Savior came to pass. It was fulfilled at God's appointed time, at God's appointed season. And friends, here tonight we see a great truth. When we think about this, that it was fulfilled at God's appointed time. And the truth is this, friends, tonight, that you and I, we can depend upon the Word of God. You see, the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, and shall he not do it, and shall he not make it good? It was Martin Luther who said that the Word of God is perfect, it is precious, it is pure, it is truth itself. We can depend upon the Word of God. And the fact that Christ came, the fact that he was born in Bethlehem at God's appointed time, was but the fulfillment of God's promise. And it proves to you and I that God's Word is true. God's Word is a sure foundation. And God's Word is a message that you and I can build our life upon and depend upon for time and for all of eternity. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, let me say this. If you are to be saved from your sins, you must heed the Word of God. You must heed the glorious message of the gospel that is found in the Word of God. And that message gives to you a tremendous promise. And the promise is this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, that's God's promise to you tonight in this meeting, whoever you are unsaved. If you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of sinners, you'll be saved. You'll have life everlasting. You'll be sure of a home in heaven. Also, child of God, you and I who are saved, how vital it is that we depend upon God's Word and allow the Word of God to be our guide day by day. The psalmist could say of the Lord that the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Oh, as we think of the coming to pass of this great promise. See here in the Word of God tonight, the Bible, that you and I, we have a more sure word of prophecy. As well as proving to us the certainty of God's Word. My Christ coming here at the fullness of time, it reminded man, yes, it reminds man of His great need of salvation.
in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It also reminds man of the hopelessness of man's religion and the hopelessness of the philosophies of men as far as salvation is concerned. You notice carefully what it says in our text tonight. It says, but when the fullness of the time has come. Notice those words, the fullness of the time. When Christ came at the fullness of his time, of God's time, it is to be noted that all the learning and all the philosophies of ancient Greece and ancient Rome had reached their height. They were at their apex, so to speak. Yet all the learning and all the philosophies of men could not break the dominion of sin in this world. They could not save man from a sin, no matter how much learning, how much philosophies of men they followed and adhered to in this life, in this scene of time. Also, whenever Christ came at the fullness of God's time, it's important also to note and to say that the Jewish people themselves had been observing all the rites and all the ceremonies of the Old Testament, Levitical law and religion. They'd been observing those rites and those ceremonies for thousands of years. Yet all these things in themselves could not defeat sin's dominion in their lives, could not save them from their sins. The book of Hebrews speaks about the Old Testament Levitical law, and it speaks of its weakness and its unprofitableness. In other words, it cannot save. Go back there to Romans chapter 8 and the verse number 3. Look at what the Apostle Paul says there about the Old Testament law. He says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. There Paul tells us how the law could not save. Thus Christ came in the fullness of God's time. At the appointed time, He came in accordance with God's plan. My, to show man his absolute need of Christ, his absolute dependence upon Christ alone for salvation. Dear friend, tonight, can I say it in this meeting? Yes, Christ came at the fullness of God's time to show Jew and Gentile and to show you and I also that we cannot be saved from our sins by our good works, no matter how hard we may try. The Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ came, yes, at the fullness of God's time to show you and I that we cannot be saved by our own self-righteousness, no matter how righteous we might think ourselves to be before man. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Also, Christ came in the fullness of God's time to show you and I that we cannot be saved by religious rite or ceremony or by the philosophies of men, no matter how religious we might appear to be in the eyes of man. Oh yes, Christ, He came in the fullness of God's time to show you and I our absolute need of Jesus Christ as Savior. What does the Bible say of Jesus Christ? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Why was it such a joyful occasion that Christ had come? Because it was the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose that a Savior had come. Think of those tremendous words again of the angel to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Oh yes, the time of Christ's incarnation, it shows you and I our great need of Christ. It shows mankind, whoever he is, wherever he is to be found, his absolute need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice secondly tonight in our text, notice not only the time of Christ's incarnation, notice the manner of Christ's incarnation. Look again at our text, look at what is said in Galatians chapter 4 and the verse number 4. It says, God sent forth His Son made of a woman. Notice very carefully what it does not say there. It does not say that He was made of a man, no. It says He was made of a woman. And that reminds us and it tells us how the birth of Christ was unlike every other birth. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was miraculously conceived in the womb of a poor virgin by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Remember again the word of the angel to Joseph. The angel said to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And by the very fact that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin, it means that He was born into this world unique. He was born into this world without sin. He was perfectly free from sin's alloy. He was perfectly free from sin by nature and by practice. He is called in the Bible a lamb without blemish and a lamb without spot. One of the great titles given to Christ is the title of Wonderful. And He is wonderful. Why? Because He was sinless. He was without sin. Oh, how different the Lord Jesus Christ is from you and I and all mankind. How does the Bible describe you and I and all mankind? This is what the Bible says. It says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way." The Bible says, "There is none that seeketh after God, and no, not one." But this was not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is described in the Bible as the altogether lovely one. And being the sinless Son of God, Christ then is able to save sinners like you and I. The Bible says He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. And as the sinless Son of God, yes, He was fitted and qualified, yes, for this great work, being the only mediator between God and man. It says here, God sent forth a Son made of a woman. He was without blemish, without spot, without sin. But it tells us something else here regarding the manner of His incarnation. Verse 4 also says that God sent forth a Son, notice it, made under the law. That means that as He lived on earth, He perfectly kept the law of God. He was subject to and He submitted to God's law in every point, in every precept of the law of God. He could say, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And a sinless life, it means, yes, that His death upon the cross was vicarious and it satisfied the justice of God. And it quenches the wrath of God upon all who trust Christ as Savior. Just turn back in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Notice what it says there about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law." That speaks of the judgment of God upon us for our sin. "Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree." My, because of a sinless, spotless, flawless sacrifice, He has quenched the wrath of God, taken away the curse of sin for all who will trust Christ as their own and personal Savior. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Christian in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. He says of this of Christ, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." This is the great bounty, the great blessing that flows from the death of Christ, the sinless Son of God. For all who trust Him as Savior, they are saved, delivered from the curse of the law, saved and delivered from the wrath to come. But a sinless life also means, yes, that He procured eternal righteousness for all who trust Him as Savior. Yes, when a person trusts Christ as Savior, Christ's robe of spotless righteousness is imputed, placed to their account. And that person, whoever they are, they are accepted by God as being righteous in the presence of Almighty God. Yes, the Bible declares that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Back in the Old Testament prophecy of Daniel, Daniel 2, he spoke of Christ and His coming into this world. in Daniel chapter 9 and the verse number 24 of that chapter. There the prophet, he speaks of the great work of Christ. He speaks of Christ quenching the wrath of God against all who trust Him as Savior. He speaks of eternal righteousness for all who embrace Christ by faith as Savior. And this is what Daniel says that Christ has come to do. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 24, he says He's come to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Friend, this is what Christ can do for you. When you put your faith and your trust in Him, He'll pardon your sins. He'll blot out your transgressions. He'll bring you into a place of reconciliation with God. He will bestow upon you the robe of His spotless righteousness. And that will be your portion in Christ for all of eternity to come. How blessed is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a joyful occasion that Christ came to be the Savior of sinners. Yes, the manner of His incarnation, the time of His incarnation. Notice one final thought tonight from our text. Notice here in Galatians chapter 4, the great purpose of Christ's incarnation. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a Son made of a woman, made under a law. Notice it. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And friend, what that means is this. The moment you trust Christ as Savior, the moment you put your faith and trust in Him, because He has come into this world and died upon the cross as the sinless Son of God and has risen again, God pardons, God forgives all your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He pardons all your sins and He saves you. He delivers you from the very wrath to come. He saves you from a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Remember the message of Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And friend, that's the gospel promise to you tonight. Put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. He'll pardon all your sins. He will save you from the wrath to come. And He will give you a home in heaven one day. The Bible says this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. This is what it means to be saved. This is what it means to know Christ and to trust in Christ. The Son of God who came into this world at the fullness of God's time, who died for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. When you trust Him, God will forgive all your sins. He'll deliver you from the wrath to come. He'll give to you the glorious promise of life everlasting. It says there in verse 5, it says that we might receive the adoption of sons. Dear friend, when you trust Christ as Savior, may you inherit the wealth of Christ. You inherit the wealth of heaven. And the wealth of God is given to you as God's child. Turn back there to Romans chapter 8 and the verse 16 and verse number 17. Look at what it says there in Romans 8 verses 16 and 17. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This is what you can have in Christ. Be made an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. What does that mean when you trust Him as Savior? What does that mean when you're adopted into the family of God and have that adoption as a child of God? It means this, dear friend, when you know and trust the Lord as Savior, you can depend upon Him to supply your every need. David the psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means also, yes, that you can depend upon His grace. To live for Him, to live for His honor, to live for His glory day by day. Notice verse 6 there of Galatians chapter 4. It says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, and through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, day by day, when you trust Christ as Savior, you can be enabled to live for God's honor and Lord's glory. Every circumstance and every changing scene of life. Yes, it also means that the Lord will be with you in life. Turn with me in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 1. Here we read again about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His incarnation into this world. Notice one of the great titles that is given to Christ, the title of Emmanuel. Verse 23, Matthew chapter 1, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Notice it, which being interpreted is God with us. Dear child of God, that's your portion tonight in Christ. The Lord is with you. The Lord is your portion. In the trials of life, and the battles of life, and the needs of life, and the sorrows of life, and the griefs of life, you have in the Lord Jesus Christ a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Oh, see the blessing that Christ brings. See the blessing of being a child of God and knowing your sins forgiven, to have the Lord with you, Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, it means being saved from the wrath to come, be sure of heaven one day, and praise God, it means that when you're in heaven, you shall be like Christ forever and ever. The Bible says, "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." This is the blessing of being a child of God. This is the blessing that comes from the redeeming work of Christ, the incarnate Son of God who came into this world at God's appointed time. Oh, friend, tonight, let me say this. There is tremendous blessing. There is great blessing, not only for time, but for all of eternity, in knowing Christ, being saved, being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, being a child of God, and being ready for heaven. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, I urge you to come to the Lord. Put your faith, put your trust in Him. Don't go out of the meeting unsaved. Call upon Him for salvation. The psalmist prayed, "Oh, visit me with thy salvation." Ask the Lord tonight to visit you and to save you by His grace and power, to wash away your sins. And the Lord of glory who came into this world, who was born at Bethlehem, will redeem your soul, forgive your sins, be with you in life, bring you home to heaven, to glory, to be with Himself forevermore, where you shall be forever like Christ, and you shall see Him as He is. We'll close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 85 in your hymn book, the hymn number 85 in the page 210. "Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou comest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there's room in my heart for thee." If you're not saved tonight, you need even make the words of this hymn the prayer of your heart and trust the Lord for salvation. Hymn number 85, we'll stand as we sing. As we sing, We'll close our meeting with a word of prayer. If there's one tonight in the meeting, you're not saved, you're concerned about your soul, you need a salvation, come to the Lord tonight, trust Him, call upon Him for salvation. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away. Be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you alone to Jesus Christ who can save. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee, Father, for help given in the ministry of Thy Word, that Christ came in the fullness, O God, of Thy time to redeem us, to deliver us from the wrath to come, from our sins and from nature's night. We thank Thee for each one in this gathering tonight who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, who have been adopted into the family and into the fold of God through faith in Christ, who can look forward to heaven, to glory, and to the coming again of Christ. But Lord, for any in the gathering tonight and have not this hope within their heart, within their soul, oh, that tonight, Lord, they would come and trust Christ, that they would settle their eternal destiny of their soul once and for all. Know the joy of sins forgiven, the glorious hope of heaven, through faith in Christ, the Lamb of God. Answer prayer. Take us to our homes and safely journey with us. Keep Thy hand upon us, each one, for good, even throughout this week that lies before us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be our portion this night and always. Amen.